To me, the Rams were still the best team, and they did not get the Super Bowl. Why? Some might say defense. They fixed the cornerback room, getting both Chiefs corners in Trent McDuffie and signing in Jalen Watson. And then now you go from Jared Verse, who in his own right was a defensive rookie of the year. But I even said in Stats vs. Film episodes that he went silent a bit too often. He wasn't getting them off the field in critical situations. Myles Garrett gives you the opportunity to do that and then some. So you fix the worst position group on the roster last year at the cornerback spot, and then you upgrade the edge rushing department and like the get off the field player in critical third and fourth downs. And once again, I present to you that the Los Angeles Rams are the best team.
Okay. Josh Norris from Underdog, not to be confused with Josh Norris of the Sabres.
Josh Norris, all right. Who I don't know to be any level of football analyst.
Well, you don't really know him enough to.
That's right.
Like, you're basically saying that.
Right.
I don't know what he knows about Jared Verse.
Yeah. Might know as much as that Josh Norris, for all I know. But what do I know? A lot of knows.
Josh Norris of the Sabres is a problem for you, kind of.
Yeah, it is. It was, at this time last year, a lot easier to just sort of cross your fingers and hope. Like, well, maybe if he's good and he stays healthy, I mean, I know he's good. If he stays healthy and he's good more often for me, I've got a chance to really improve and maybe this can take off. And that really didn't happen. I mean, he did not have a highly impactful year. He did come back to the lineup, and it coincided with the 10-game win streak. Like, that should be pointed out. Like, he was a reinforcement that, you know, what Kevin Adams getting fired? Well, no, you got a hotshot 200-foot number one center back. And so I don't want to say he didn't have any impact, but the money, and I'm just worried he's going to play 40 games again, and I don't want to just cross my fingers and hope that he can stay healthy. I'd like to replace him with someone who at least has demonstrated in other seasons that he can. So that I don't think is going to be real easy to do, because you probably got to pay somebody to take that contract. He's not a completely sunk asset, but the contract is going to be tough for somebody to acquire, I think.
You know what? Is this even the right question? That was the Cousins trade.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a long time ago now, but was it worth it? I like to say this, when a team wins a championship, necessarily every move they made really cannot be criticized. I know there are times when, pretty much every time, the champion did this one thing that, wow, that was a terrible move. But they won, and that's the point. The Sabres did not win the Stanley Cup, but they did this. They made this monumental step forward this year. And you're saying it. Like, Norris was a part of the team. He was on the team. He was on the ice. Number one center, etc. He scored one goal in the playoffs. It was against Boston. He did not score against Montreal.
It was an empty netter at that.
Okay. Like, I don't know what you really got there. I don't want to relitigate the Cousins trade. I mean, Cousins was, we were in a bad place with him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sort of both teams, we'll see what happens with the Rams and the Browns.
Well,
maybe it's the opposite, it's where funny, both teams sort of get out from something.
I mean, I recognize you just said you don't want to relitigate it. I was on the air myself the day that trade happened. You were away. And one of the first points I got to was, like, I think in a vacuum, you know, look at the two players' careers, look at their stats. Norris, I think, is the, and just, you know, go, you want to do a deeper dive under the hood, 200-foot game, defending, face-offs, whatever. Norris was the better player. But why does Ottawa want to make this trade? Well, I thought Ottawa wanted to make this trade because they're going to the playoffs. This is last season now, not this one that just finished up. They're about to go to the playoffs, and they don't know if they can count on this guy, and they want someone that they feel like they can depend on, even if it means he's, you know, going to score 15 fewer points a year or whatever. And at that point, Cousins was far from the player he even was last year for Ottawa. Like, they kind of got the Dylan Cousins that got the contract extension last year, Ottawa did. And I don't even know what this is to say, but if I could undo that trade right now, like, if I could get Dylan Cousins back on my team for Josh Norris, I would do it.
But you can't.
But you can't. It's not going to happen. So at the time, I understood it. I got it was, to me, a risk worth taking for the Sabres. You're nowhere. You're stuck in the mud. Maybe this guy, new place, maybe he has better injury luck, and I got the better player. But so far, that's not looking like what's happening. And I think, yeah, if I want to really be serious about contending, I got to try to find a more stable number one center, I think.
The Sabres got 3 points in 10 games, including that empty net goal. I mean, Norris, due respect, he had Benson on his line for a lot of that. And still, two assists against Montreal. Benson got moved up. Krebs had 39 points this year. Part of this is a durability point, which is part of your a big part of your argument. But Norris has ever only had one season north of 35 points. Not goals.
Right.
He had 35 goals the year he had more than 35 points. But
right.
Like, his second highest season in terms of points is 35. He's 27.
Right.
Is he tradable? You're bringing up reasons why he might not be. The money is a part of that.
Yep.
The Sabres are talking. This is Kekalainen. The Sabres are talking like they are very careful about what they're doing with their money. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying that yet. But Kekalainen referencing Skinner the other day.
Mm-hmm. When talking about the Tuck contract.
Talking about Tuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has yet to sound that, frankly, optimistic about a Tuck deal, knowing what Tuck would want more than, you know, maybe we don't know that, but you can make assumptions. I don't know. Your point since the season ended was, if you can move Norris, then you can do a lot of things here. And you can make room for the young guys, and maybe that even...
Right.
Saves Tuck from leaving. Who knows? That's Robert Thomas, all these different ideas.
Right.
But it might be a pretty big
It might be a big lift.
Move to make.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard move to make.
Yep.
Game one of the final is tomorrow. Why is it final? Is that a thing that any normal person would not... Who would say final and not finals? Has it ever been final in sort of your life, just speaking like a normal person?
I would need to go back and look at all the graphics, like the word mark.
From the league or just from people?
Yeah, from the league. Have they like when I was 20 and not paying attention, did they have a graphic that said Stanley Cup final?
Doubt it.
Like, I don't remember.
When was that, the 70s?
Yeah, I remember always calling it the finals, never the final.
No, why?
Because I'm normal. Or at least in this
because
respect.
Because it's more than one game.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I just
Why
know
do
that
they
it,
even want that?
It I don't good question.
Is there some marketing reason? There must be, right? Why the league would want to call it the final? Why would anybody ever want to do that when it's a best of seven?
My best guess is that they're trying to differentiate themselves from
the NBA.
The NBA, which is running concurrently.
Here's one way where you can do that in sort of, again, a normal way.
You know,
because it's a different sport.
I was gonna say,
with a different name.
Your game's on ice. That's
it's the
different.
NBA finals. It's not even the NHL finals. It's the Stanley Cup, which is distinctive already. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been this way a long time, not when you were a kid. It's been this way a long time. I don't get it. A lot of things I don't get, including that the Bills have two games this year on Fox. And their games, we know this has changed, so there's the reveal. Their games at the NFC. Well, no, those would be CBS games, like the AFC network, if you will. Their home games against the NFC, Chicago and Detroit, are both at night. Detroit is on Prime, and Chicago's on what?
Chicago is on CBS.
Yeah, sure.
It's a night game on CBS.
Of course.
Right. Yeah, Saturday. It's a Saturday game, that's why.
I asked Sal today, because I use this Pro Grid for the schedule all the time, and it said they have two Fox games. So I asked Sal, and Sal knew. Which two games, which two Bills games are on Fox? It's the Chargers in week 3, and then Miami here in week 11.
Those are both home games, right.
Both home games.
I guess, because that the point you've been making about the NFC games, if traditionally that would be an opportunity for Fox to get them, and they're closed out of those because of the night game thing. So in order to get the Bills on Fox, they're taking a Miami and a LA Chargers home game.
And that probably will not, neither of those games will be like a number one team game, right? Chargers at Bills in week 3 at 1 o'clock? Is that like, no, I have the schedule.
I doubt it. Yeah, no.
Minnesota at Tampa, Arizona at San Francisco. Those are 4 o'clock. Oh, Baltimore at Dallas. That's not Fox. This doesn't have to be settled right now.
Okay.
There's one 4:25 game that week, and that's the game in Rio. Because, of course, it is. And Baltimore at Dallas. And I don't know who has that game.
Okay.
That might be a key. I was just thinking that I doubt we get Tom Brady this year, which I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have to be like a Fox game of the week. And is Chargers at Bills in week 3 possibly the Fox game of the week? Is it that bereft otherwise? Maybe?
Maybe. The Baltimore-Dallas game is on CBS, by the way. I just looked.
Okay.
I looked at their schedule, Baltimore.
Maybe it is then.
Yeah, might be. That means we don't escape Brady.
That would be the one. Is that, how good a game is that? Chargers at Bills, week 3. How good a game is that? Seattle at Washington that week. It's really not a great
schedule. It's a pretty good schedule. You could sell it as, you know, two contenders.
Sure, it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not great. I don't think it deserves the number one announcing crew myself, but maybe you'll get it.
It's possible.
It's on Fox.
I don't see much of a better Jets-Lions.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not up to that.
I don't see really a better option. Yeah. Seattle at Washington is the only one, if that's even a Fox game, which, it, you know, intuitively it feels like it. Carolina-Cleveland?
Yeah, no.
That's Vegas, New Orleans? What happened to the schedule? Everything's at night now. That's what happened to the schedule. All these night games can make the 1 o'clock slate. Mm-hmm. I know you like that. Mm-hmm. When we're talking ball like this, that
talking
it can make it
ball. You it can make it look it up. Weak.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forced that. Did you see
Tennessee
or
Giants?
Did you have any exposure to Brady's latest hot take?
I meant to look it up. Something about practice squads. And
yes.
Do players want to be on the practice squad? Is this now?
His take was this. I don't have quotes to share with you, but I read the whole commentary. And it's basically, you make a couple hundred grand a year on a practice squad, and there's no pressure until you get called up to the active roster. And his point was, guys that are on practice squads, they're just too, they're happy to be there, and they'd rather not have to face the scrutiny of playing in any kind of high pressure situation, and they're too comfortable sitting on practice squads.
It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, because you're not guaranteed anything there beyond, like, it's a week to week existence on the practice squad. They're going to find someone they like better than you and replace you on the practice squad. And now you're not only not getting called up to the active roster, you're going home, and you don't no longer have your 200 grand a year or whatever it is. And I just think it's absurd. It's like another attempt. It's an effort that to me is needless for him to prove how different he was and how driven he was and how strong-willed he was and how badly he wanted it. And that's why he managed to make all this, you know, all this out of himself after being a sixth round pick. And I mean, just already stop trying to prove
it was to us. It was no hot take. Whenever 4 years ago, when he went into broadcasting to say, he's just never going to leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely been the case.
Yep.
He's just never going to leave us alone. We didn't really sign up for this, did we? And Aaron Rodgers will be next, and he's already doing it by playing into his almost mid-40s now with no real serious chance at winning again. Like, just they cannot just go away. Pay's great. There's always going to be, like, Fox is there for him. There's always going to be somebody to Now it's Russell Wilson. There's just going to be somebody. There's so much money, no matter how interesting they are. And Brady is not the worst analyst.
No.
If you just didn't know it was him,
yep,
it would help. But they just cannot quit it. And Olsen is so good. And, oh, Tom Brady wants to do it. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
Like, just, you have to move down a peg. Ugh. That point about the practice squad seems just insane. Yeah. And people who are in the league are saying that they think it's insane, too.
Yeah, because he's talking like, look, if you could sustainably build your career 8 years, 5 years of being on a practice squad and bank $1 million or more, okay, maybe the certain kind of dude is going to want to just sort of stay in the background and just take that check. But that guys don't do that. That's not available. Like, it's a year-to-year, week-to-week existence, and, like, who is settling and signing up for that? It's insane.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.